the month of Shvat, we celebrated Rosh Chodesh yesterday. We're going to dedicate this class to Devorah Bat Yehuda. It doesn't say what are we dedicating the shiur to, so she should have anything that her heart desires, health, wealth, abundance, and anybody else should also can be joined into the bracha. And we're in the month of Shvat. This is the month of growth. Shvat is the sign of, in Hebrew it's called Dli. How do you call it in English? Sagittarius? Not Sagittarius. Aquarius? No, that's Aquarius? Okay. Pisces. So the sign is Dli. It's a very special month. There's a lot of things to learn from this month. The signs, they teach us a lot about the month. The sign is a bucket. We all have a bucket in us. And a bucket, the desire of the bucket is to be full. And the bucket can be a little cup like this. This can also be a bucket. And my bucket can be this big and different sizes. But the emotion, the desire of the bucket is to be full. And we all have a bucket in us. This desire of constantly, I want to reach to what's called revaya, to be full. When I eat, I don't eat through two pieces and I move. I eat till I stuff myself, which is wrong. Because even Rambam says you have to eat three quarters of being full. It's actually not healthy because there's a delay system between my digesting system to my brain, and my stomach gets full, and only a few minutes later the brain gets the notification that the stomach is full. That's why Rambam, Maimonides, says eat like three quarters of what you would eat because you're already full and you don't need so much food. So the sign of the month is like a bucket. It's in Hebrew, it's called Gli. Why? Because we constantly want to reach this fulfillment that I want to be full. Sova. Now, the month that corresponds to the month is the month of Asher, which Asher was also signifying the abundance, the Sova. And Asher is the word, is the letters of Rosh. Same letters, just in a different order. Rosh is the head, of course. In Kabbalah, the Rosh is called Gimel Rishonot, the Mochin, the Chochma Bina and Da'at. This is the intellect, this is the head, the Rosh. So this is a month that's corresponding to that level. In the book of Yetzirah, it's explained that the star that controls the month is Shabtai. And the letters that controlling, that creates the month is the letter Tzadik. Excuse me? The letter Tzadik, which also when you write the letter Tzadik, is a Tzadik, is a righteous person. There's a secondary letter for the month of Shvat, which is Bet. And this is written together, Tzadik Bet. This is the letters of the month. Which, just the letter Tzadik, again, like I said, like how you write it, it's written Tzadik. Tzadik corresponds to the sphere of Yesod. What we say, Tzadik Yesod Olam. Yesod is the foundation. Yesod is the sphere that takes in all the hamshacha, all the energy, all the abundance, all the blessing that comes from all the sphirot above and funnels it into one basin, so to say, and gives it to the malchut. This is the action of the yesod. The yesod is the mediator between the above and below. That's why Yaakov, when Yosef was taken to Mitzrayim, the whole time Yaakov was he was mourning. And the Shechina was removed from him. Now Yaakov was a Navi, he was a Tzaddik. He knew what happened to Yosef. He wasn't fooled by his kids that an animal ate Yosef. He knew exactly what happened. But Yosef is the Yesod. And Yaakov was the Ziranpin, he was the Sfirot above, what's called Nukba, the Zachar and Nekeva, the Zun, sorry. and the Yesod, the sphere of Yesod, was taken from Yaakov. Therefore, Yaakov could not have any connection to the Malchut, which is the Shechinah. So that's why Yaakov lost his ability of prophecy, and that's why he was mourning, because he was not connected to the Malchut. The sphere of Yesod, which is Yosef, connected him. That was the ring that connected Yaakov to the Malchut, the rest of the Sfirot. So the Tzaddik is the Sfirot of Yesod. That's why we say Tzaddik Yesod Olam. And the letter that creates the month is the letter of Tzaddik. Now, we're going to start, Bezrat Hashem, I don't know when, but we're going to start a course about the four elements, how they correspond to the spiritual and the physical level, because everything is built from the elements, and it's important that we start learning that, because in Tikkun HaMidot, we're talking about the four elements. In Shaar HaGilgulim, we're talking about the four elements. Almost every time we bring up these elements, even now. The element of the month of Shvat is the dominating element is earth. Every month has one dominating element. And in that element, it has, in the month of Shvat, has the element of fire, and around it has the element of air. Excuse me?
Capricorn,
not Gli. Capricorn? Yeah, that's what I thought in the beginning. So. No, it's nothing to do with the sword. I'm talking about the element of the month. The dominating element is Afar, earth, but in it, there's always one dominating element and one secondary element, and two and one, and I don't want to get into that. That's what we're going to do in the class, in the course about the elements, because it depends to the neshama, depends to the spiritual. But there's always have in all cases has to be at least one element that is dominating. In most of the cases, one element has to dominate, two elements are kind of in between, and one is like the weakest one. But again, I don't want to get to that, because we're going to leave that to the course when we learn about the Sudot, about the elements. But in the month of Shvat, the dominating element is Afar. In that is the element of fire, and around it is the element of Avir. What does it mean to us? Because each element will bring some type of a character trait. The character trait of this combination of earth mixed with fire, surrounded with air, is called Anochi, selfish, Anochiut. And that's something that is in us, and we all have that element of being selfish. In most cases, I think of myself first, and then I think of others. Even though I'm very a nice husband, and a very nice father, and I'm a very nice boss, and so forth, I still have in me some type of element of selfishness. Some people, unfortunately, they're very, very selfish. But this is what will this combination of the elements, that's what it's going to cause. And this is something that we're going to work on in the month of Shvat. Now, in the month of Shvat is a very special holiday that is called Tu B'Shvat. Now, a lot of people don't really see importance to this holiday. It's just another day. Tu B'Shvat is a very special holiday. It's called Chag Leilan. Here in Israel, they call it Chag Leilanot. But the Zohar calls it Chag, holiday, Leilan, to the tree. And of course, when the Zohar is talking about which Ilan, which tree do we know?
Tree of life.
Etz HaChaim. So, Chag Leilanot, that's the invention of the Israelis, saying Ilanot, in plural. Really, it's called Chag Leilan, the holiday of the tree. And of course, we're talking about the tree of life, not the tree of knowledge. We are the tree of life. When you want to compare what's the tree of knowledge and tree of life, Nishmot Israel, the souls of Israel, are the tree of life. Bezrat Hashem, maybe we'll also do a course about that, about the concept of tree of life. But we are the tree of life, and the holiday that we're celebrating on Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, is the tree of life, which the tree of life is the koach, the power of Mashiach. Which means that we are, the Arnes Ramot, our souls are the tree of life, meaning that we are the engine of Mashiach, of the power of Mashiach. Mashiach needs us. As much as we need him, Mashiach also needs us. And Melech Beloam, you can't have a king without a nation. So the power of Mashiach comes from us, this comes from the Etz HaChaim, and this is the holiday of that we celebrate in Shvat. Now, it's also called the holiday of fruit and trees, which is the fruit and the seven species, Shivat Aminim. And we're going to learn from that something very soon. What does it mean? Now, in this month, I have the ability of transforming this power of selfishness, I don't know if that's how you say it, the power of being selfish in me. That's how you say selfishness? You will say that? Okay. Self-centered is one thing, and selfish is a different thing. Because self-centered is I'm just focused on my own needs. Being selfish is that... Move away. It's mine. It's all about me. So, again, selfish and self-centered is two different things, but here we all have the motion and the power of being selfish, and I want to transform it. Now, we said that the Shevet is Asher. Asher comes, it has the same letters of Rosh, which is called in Kabbalah the Gimel Rishonot, the Mochin, and we see that usually Rosh Chodesh Shvat will fall in the Parsha of Bo. Like exactly what we had this week. It either would be a little bit before, a little bit after. This week it was exactly that Rosh Chodesh falls on the Parasha of Bo. And in the Parashot we see that in the Parasha of Bo we have seven plagues, and the Parasha in Parasha of Vayera we have seven plagues, and the Parasha of Bo there are three plagues. Meaning that the seven plagues in Parashat Vayera, they are corresponding to the Sheva, to the seven Midot. And the three plagues in the Parasha of Bo, they're corresponding to the three Midot, the three intellects, the Chochma, Bina, and the Da'at, the Sefirot Elyonot. And that's why usually, Chosh Chodesh Shvat will fall in Parashat Bo. Now, the three plagues that we have in this Parasha are locusts, Arbe, Choshech and Bechorot, darkness and the killing of the firstborn. So that also comes to teach us something in the whole motion of the month. Now, we said that every month has some type of a sense, some type of, it's called a chush. We have 12 senses. Last month we talked that the chush was roges, was kas, was anger. This month is the chush of eating. It's called achila. Now, achila is to eat, is to consume something. And without even noticing, and we actually talked about it on Shabbat, that our entire life is surrounded about eating. It's constantly we eat. Our entire day is around breakfast, lunch, dinner, all day long I'm eating. Constantly I'm pushing something into my mouth. And when I eat, what motion do I have? I want to be full. And when I eat, I want good food. If I make now coffee and somebody makes it to me and there's a little bit too much coffee, it's not good. Make another one. So the concept of eating is a very dominating thing in our life. To a point that almost anywhere that I move, I don't move without the thought of what I'm going to eat. I go on a vacation, where are we eating? What am I eating? I go to a retreat, how's the food? What's the hechshel? Is the food going to be good? You go to a Shabbaton, after a day, you say, oh, the lectures were amazing. How was the food? Oh, the food. We were invited once to a Pesach retreat, and for us it worked well. I was one of the speakers, and we got a big break on the retreat. So my wife was very happy, no cleaning, no cooking. My kids were in heaven, and I wasn't put to work. Teach in the morning, teach in the afternoon, teach at night. I'm teaching and my kids are eating. So this entire retreat was around food. From breakfast to brunch to lunch to this to all day long, just food. People were, how was your retreat? Oh, the food was amazing. So the thing is that our entire existence is kind of revolving around food. Which comes to teach us, this is not by chance, this is not a mistake. There's something going on around food in our life. Now, we mentioned a little bit the concept of the Makot about the plagues. Paro did not want to let the Jews go. So the last three plagues were really to crush Paro. Paro was Akshan. He was very stubborn. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to break him. And we're going to learn, we're going to see what's the connection with these plagues to the month when the sense is eating. What's the point with the eating? So, first of all, eating is one of the most important things in our life. That if I eat the right way, my entire being will be balanced. So it goes to the quantities that I eat, to the diet that I eat, what I eat, and needless to say, if it's kosher or not. That, say in America, you are what you eat. If you eat like a chazer, then that's how you're going to behave, that's how you're going to be. Now, a lot of people are very fanatic about their diet, and they're very smart. And it's not about necessarily the kosher diet. Some people are very strict with kosher, but when it comes to the actual nutrition, that doesn't matter. So a smart person takes the entire concept of nutrition and puts it in the highest priority. Like I say in many different of my lectures and classes, that 50% of our problems, and I'm stump throwing a number, this is not a research, I'm saying 50, we really, I think it's 80. But just to make it sound normal, 50% of our problems is coming from our nutrition. Problems, I'm talking about depression, sadness, anxieties, fears, nightmares, all these things, and not, needless to say, my desires, tavot, my inclinations, my lusts from food, and needless to say, my level of avodat Hashem. And you have two components, the kosher part of the food and the actual nutrition of the food. So a person that is very aware of their nutrition, they're bringing their life to balance. People who are not, their life is not balanced. And the not being balanced will come out in many different things. So we learn from that that a very important thing of our life is eating. Now let's go back 5,777 years ago. The first sin that changed the face of the earth was eating. It was not anything else. Adam HaRishon ate from Etz Hadat. Achal. So already we understand that the problem started with eating. So up until today, we are here to correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. So we have to correct something in our eating. So it's all about food. That's our in our customs. All the Yomim Tovim, all our festivals, it's about eating. Shabbat, it's eating. All the times that we commemorate something, we don't eat. Our entire religion is eating, not eating, eating, not eating. Feasting, fasting, fasting, eating, fasting, not eating. So, you know, you ask a Jewish mom about the holidays, oh, I need 20 chickens, 20, it's just the food. How do you prepare for a holiday? I shop and I cook. So we want to go down to the depth of what's the concept of eating, because the motion, the chush, the sense of this month is about eating. Now, we know that the first damage, the blemish, so to say, was done with eating. Now, there were in the sin, there were three partners. There was Adam, there was Chava, and there was the snake. The concept in the eating, in the sin of the eating, was a separation from God. Because Adam and Chava were connected to God, and the sin made them separated from God. And in order to do the sin, had to be three partners, Adam, Chava, and the snake. Now, when does a really person rebels or go against Hashem? When he's full, when he's satisfied. The Torah says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. When you become comfortable, that's when you, so to say, kick Hashem away. If you have millions of dollars in your bank, and your other half, and a good relationship, and healthy kids, and everything is working how you want, then Hashem gets pushed away. That's the level of what's called sova, I'm full. When do I start calling to Hashem? When I don't have this abundance, when I'm hungry, so to say, when I'm thirsty. When I'm missing things, that's when I turn to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, this is the motion. When I have hunger, hunger is equal to being desperate. If I'm very, very busy, I don't notice right now what's going on. I'm not noticing that I'm hungry. because my mind is working. If you are intrigued by something, if your mind is stimulated by something, you don't think of food. Sometimes you can go a whole day without food because you're excited. You go to an amusement park or a hike or a trip or something. Who's thinking of food? You're all full of excitement. So much more so if you're involved in something that is really exciting you, you forget to eat. You forget that you have to have a cup of coffee. So the hunger, one can equal hunger to being desperate, to being in some type of a, what's called metsuka, that I mean in some type of a place of despair, that it's corresponding to hunger. Because why do I go and open the fridge? Because my stomach starts talking to me. So we see that the first damage, the first gum in the universe was in eating, and we have three components to it. One of them is eating, one of them is pleasure, and one of them is, the word in Hebrew is givun. The English word will be diversification. Right? Did I say it right? Americans, no? Diversification. That's givun, difference. Right? Am I saying the word right? Okay. Diverse, but I think givun is diversification. Givun is that I come now to eat. For example, I have a steak, I have rice, I have potatoes, I have this, I have many different types. This is givun, legavin. Make it more colorful, more interesting. That's to diverse something, difference. And I want to do it in many things. It's not only in food. I'm talking about not food, rather eating, achila. Then ta'anug, pleasure, and the givun, the diversification. Variety is also a good word, but I would say more diverse and diversification. Now, what are these three groups? We have three characters in the scene, Adam, Chava, and the snake. So Adam HaRishon corresponds to food, to the eating. The eating is the motion of being full, of sova. Adam HaRishon, that was his thing. He wanted to reach to that level of sova, of being full, after eating. And we see that the punishment that Adam HaRishon got, each one got 10. Adam HaRishon got 10 punishments, Chava got 10, the snake got 10. And the land got 9. What is the main punishment that Adam HaRishon got? Bezeat apecha tochal lachem. With the hard labor of your work, sweating, you're going to eat. Meaning that what corresponds to Adam HaRishon is the concept of sova, of eating, constantly eating and consuming into him. Now, Chava corresponds to the pleasure. Women are more into pleasures. Women want to be spoiled, they want to be pleasured, they want to be pampered. Women care about the comfortable. I can sleep on the floor. My wife has to sleep on a bed. The motion or the concept of te'ava, of desire and lust, that comes from Chava. Chava brought it into the world. Why? We see in the pasuk it says ki tov ha'etz lemar'eh ve'te'ava le'chol. The tree was nice to see. The women like nice things, but the tree was te'ava le'chol. It had a desire, this lust, to eat the tree, from the tree. So Adam HaRishon just wanted to get to the level of sova, of being full. And that's what men are after. Men, they want to reach to the level that I'm in control, I'm full. The woman is more wanted the actual pleasure of it. And that comes from Chava, and that comes from the motion of the desire, the lust. The punishment that Chava got is the opposite. Be'etzev tildi banim. And again, Chava got 10 punishments. The cycle, the monthly cycle, and many other things. But the dominating one is be'etzev tildi banim. With sadness, with pain, you're going to give labor. Taking away the lust and the desire. The first motion is the lust here, is the pleasure of the procreating, but the result is that now you're going to suffer. You want you want to abuse, so to say, the desire, the lust, then be'etzev, you're going to suffer from the same department, so to say. Now, the diversification, the nachash, That corresponds to the concept that the snake wants to litrof, to consume everything. A snake doesn't chew, a snake doesn't bite, a snake just swallows. That comes from the motion of the nachash. And again, the nachash in Gan Eden was not this little spaghetti that came in. Nachash, he looked like a human being. He had legs, he had hands, he spoke, he was very smart. He is called the Nachash HaKadmoni. So don't imagine a snake like a spaghetti, like going into Gan Eden and talking to Chava. Rather, that was the Samech Mem. He was a very intellectual. He knew how to manipulate the situation. But the concept of the Nachash is to trof, just to take. That's why the punishment of the Nachash was, Val Gechoncha Tilech, I'm going to crush your ego completely. You're going to eat sand. Sand doesn't have taste. This is opposing, this is to cancel the diversification, the givun. You don't know, most people don't go to a restaurant and tell them, just give me potatoes. Just give me rice. What, the food doesn't come with an hors d'oeuvre? There's no first course, second course, I need a side dish. Because we want this diversification. I want to have a blue shirt and a white this, and this, the sock should be the matching color of the this, and I need some colors here. Not too long ago, a new student came here and she says, the place is beautiful, but boring. There's no colors here. I told her, I know, we need colors here. You want to donate colors? You can bring some colors here. You're right, it is plain. There's no diversification here. Only if you look there, you see a little bit of color. So we put some beautiful fish there, so something in the meantime, till we get some nice pictures. But we want our life to have what's called gvanim, shades. We talked about last week in the class of Zohar, there are endless amounts of shades. And the types of godly revelations that the prophets receive, they're compared to shades. Because each prophet sees a prophecy completely different. And we learned that because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov got one type of prophecy, and Moshe Rabbeinu got a completely different prophecy. And the Zohar calls it gvanim, shades. Because you can take the color blue, and there are endless amount of shades of blue. Dark blue, light blue, this type of blue, aqua blue, all this. Endless amount of shades. This is called gvanim in Hebrew. I think the right way to translate it is diversification, but gavan is a shade. But the same way that if I look at a painting, what makes the painting beautiful? That it has a lot of colors. You can't make a painting just with the color white. It's going to be a plain painting. Or if you just use the color black, it's just going to be a plain, boring painting. What makes the painting beautiful is that the artist starts mixing all the colors. That's what gives the painting life. You sometimes look at paintings, they look so real because the artist knows how to mix the shades. So he's producing endless amount of shades, endless amount of colors. And the more colors there is, the more diversification, the more beautiful the picture is. It says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, how he creates the world with different shades. That's why we have endless amount of colors. And what we see now is nothing compared to very soon when Mashiach is going to come. We're going to have much more colors. One of the first things that's going to happen when Mashiach is going to come, the world is going to become vivid. Now the world is vivid, is a gavani, a me'od mod chazak. Right now, where the world is very pale, excuse me? Flat. Didn't say flat. I was looking for a different word in Hebrew. Say chiver. Chiver is like pale, dull. Oh, that's the word. Right now, what we see is very dull, and we think we see beauty here. When Mashiach is going to come, one of the first things that will change in the world, that the colors are going to be so vivid. That it's really going to be like Chava. Chava looked at the tree of knowledge and was Tavala in Ein. Was that the last? She couldn't take her eyes off it. You know, I have a weakness for beautiful cars. So in Tzfat, I have no problem. All the cars are falling apart. But when I go to Los Angeles, I have a problem because every 2 seconds, a Ferrari, a Lamborghini. That's my Yetzer Hara. The cars. My wife is always happy. She's like, I'm so happy to walk around with you. Men look at other women, you look at cars. So every time we go to like a beautiful place, we were in Miami, we were in Los Angeles, we go to lectures, she's like, but you, Baruch Hashem, at least I know you're looking at the cars. So I have a problem with cars. Why? I can't get my eyes off it. I will see a nice car, as superficial as it might sound, I can't. My eyes, they take me to the car. Okay, now I'm a little bit more self-control. I'm able to move away. But like a little kid, once when we lived in Los Angeles and we went to a little tiul in Beverly Hills, I told my kids, I'll take you to see some nice cars. And my wife was like, yeah, you're telling it to the kids. You want to see the nice cars. So for Chava, it was a very difficult thing not to look at the tree. It was a ta'ava, alas, to look at it. That's something we can't understand. Maybe people who are very, very into art, they will understand what does it mean, a desire for the eye. To look at something and not to be able to move away from it. To be focused in it. Unfortunately, in our generation, we see, and it's in all generations, but unfortunately, the weakness of a man is when he sees something that is inappropriate, it's like a desire, it's a lust. He can't control himself. He has to look at it. So we all have that. But the power of the eye, we just spoke about it before, how the eye arouses the desire from the heart. So for Chava, it was almost impossible not to look at the tree. She could not. And the Nachash, he kept telling her, just look at it. Look how nice it is. Yafele mar'eh. Look how beautiful it is. He took her to Fifth Avenue. Look at Gucci and look at Pierre Cardin. And she couldn't control it. He didn't take her to Target. He took her to the heart of Fifth Avenue. She couldn't control herself. I have to have it. So the Nachash was not stupid. And he so to say, manipulated the situation. Just look at it. Just I want you to look. So Adam HaRishon only cared about being full, of reaching the level of sova, of being full. Full is not really the word of so, of I took to translate what sova. When I eat, I'm savea, I'm full. Excuse me?
Satiated.
Satiated?
Yeah.
Okay. So Adam HaRishon, that's what he wanted. That was what he was all about. And then we see how it's manifested into men. That this, I need to reach to this level that I have everything. Chava had the power of teava, the desire, the lust. And the Nachash was the diversification. This desire to just swallow everything, just to take everything. This comes more connected to the Teava. That's why the Nachash, the snake, went to Chava. He didn't go to Adam HaRishon. Because he knew that his weakness and her weakness will go together. The feeling of the desire and just taking and consuming. That's why when it comes to eating disorder, usually it's the women who have eating disorder, not men. Men are, they also have in some cases eating disorder, but in most cases men have their weaknesses, but usually women are the ones who will battle the eating disorder. So what do we want to take from that? We understand that our essence is about eating. It's all about eating. And this month, the motion, the regish, the sense of the month is eating. That's how it's called, achila. It's not necessarily eating now sushi. It's the concept that my mind is constantly evolving in food. Now, what does it mean? Adam HaRishon, his mind was concentrated on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is called Muda'ut Elokit, awareness of Hashem. That I'm constantly aware of Hashem. After the sin, this awareness was taken away. This awareness turned into Muda'ut Tiv'it. Now I'm aware of this world. And that's why food is consuming me all day long. I'm constantly thinking of food. Very, very few people don't think of food. You see the tzaddikim, they eat a little bit of bread. So the food is also compared, you see how amazing it is, that Gan Eden was compared to labor, to pregnancy. The time that Adam and Chava were in Gan Eden, that's the time that the baby is in the womb. And when they got kicked out of Gan Eden, that's when the baby gets pushed out of the stomach. I told you many times that there's an angel that sits with the baby while the baby's in the womb, and when it comes the time to go out, the angel pushes him out. He tells you, you have to go out. So the time when Adam and Chava were in Gan Eden, that's compared to the pregnancy. Now what happens in pregnancy? The food is coming to the fetus. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't think of the food. He doesn't have to chew, he doesn't have to peel, he doesn't have to prepare. He just gets the food. He just gets his nutrition. Once he gets kicked out, then he has to, so to say, start acquiring the food. So in the beginning, first year, he has to suck. Then he has teeth, so he starts to bite. And then slowly, slowly starts developing that we have to work for our food. That's why the klala, the curse for Adam HaRishon, is bezat apecha tuchal lachem, you have to work for your food. Very soon when Mashiach is going to come, we're not going to have to work anymore. Because why do we really, really work? Mainly for food. Because without food I can't live. I can live in the street, I can live in many different conditions, but I have to have food. That's why in the olden days, the husband had to go and hunt. His work was to hunt. And the woman had to skin the animal, and to peel, and to pull the feathers out, or whatever it was. So in our days, the majority of our time is invested in our job, and our career, and our business. Why? Because the down the chain, the last thing is I need food. Why do I need money? Why do I go to work? Why do I go to college to get a degree? The hierarchy at the end is to achieve food. 2,000 years ago, when they didn't have universities, or they didn't have lawyers, so their entire day was either to work in the land, either to hunt, whatever it is, but the bottom line was to consume the food. So the state of Gan Eden is that the food just comes to me. I don't have to work for that. Like the baby, like the fetus, I just receive it. I was kicked out of Gan Eden. Adam and Chava were kicked out of it, now you work for your food. This is called, in Lashon Kodesh, Muda'ut Be'elokut, that my awareness is constantly to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I, right now, my entire awareness is not on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is what's called mudaut tivit. Is I'm my mind is constantly aware of food and anything that has to do with this world. There's two types of awarenesses. There's awareness, what's called mudaut elokit, that I'm aware of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm aware of God, and my entire awareness is about God. And where does it come into action? That comes 3 o'clock. Oh, mincha. I throw everything. I run to pray. And in my mind, every 20 minutes I look at my watch to see that I'm not missing my prayer. That's called Muda'ut Elokit. I'm aware constantly of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm eating now. I know. I have to say Birkat HaMazon. Past 10 minutes, what's the time? Is the time past? I don't want to miss the time. So there's many examples like that. You use your own imagination to how many examples, what's called Muda'ut Elokit. I'm constantly aware of my Avodat Hashem. I'm aware of the desire and the Ratzon of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where I want to get to. I want to get to that my mind is constantly aware of God. On the other hand, there's another type of awareness that is called Muda'ut Tivit, the awareness of nature, of this world. So where is that going to manifest into? Oh, I'm tired, I want to go to sleep. I'm hungry, I want to go and eat. So I'm constantly thinking of what I need to get in the physical world. This is called Muda'ut Tivit, that my mind is constantly is thinking about anything that has to do in this world. And unfortunately, most of the day, that's what my mind is thinking of. It's not thinking of God. It's thinking of myself. So the whole concept of eating and the sin, what we just explained, is that Adam HaRishon, his awareness was on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't have any distractions. He was constantly aware of the Master of the Universe, same with Chava later on when she came. And that was the cause. This is a state of Gan Eden. Gan Eden, it can be translated as heaven, but Gan Eden is the state of mind what Adam HaRishon and Chava were in. As the Zohar says, in the beginning, Adam HaRishon, there was, you know, we imagine the story, how he was in Gan Eden. Adam HaRishon wasn't like walking around holding hands with Chava in a garden, and like beautiful parrots. That's not Gan Eden. Gan Eden is a state of mind that Adam HaRishon was in Olam HaAtzilut, and in his mind, he was in the state that he's 100% aware of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Very few people in history can reach to that level. I mean, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Arizal probably, the Baal Shem Tov, there are probably certain individuals that their entire existence and awareness is one with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the level of Gan Eden. Bezrat Hashem, very soon Mashiach is going to be here. We are going to be in that level. We're not going to have to work. We're not going to have to hunt. We're not going to have to pay our mortgage. We're going to have to be aware of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is called the Yediyah, the knowing, and this is called the awareness and the state of Gan Eden. It's a state of mind. And that's where Adam and Chava were. Only once they sinned, they fell from their level into Olam HaAsiya, into this world. So in the beginning, Adam HaRishon, before the sin, the awareness was Modeut Elokit, godly awareness. Then he fell down. Why? Because of the sin of eating. The concept of consuming, of taking to myself. So the tikkun of this month is in the sense of eating. It's all about the eating. Now what is really the tikkun? To put myself on a diet? No. That's not the tikkun. First of all, if I want to take it to a very lower level, then yes, my awareness of my diet has to be a dominating thing in my life. And it's the first of all and most important, the kosher diet. And the more kosher you are, the more strict you are, the more your life will be affected. Because the more it goes to the lower level, the more it affects your neshama. When I'm talking about lower level, of course when you eat kosher, you're not going to eat pork. Or you're not going to eat meat and dairy. But when I'm talking about the lower level, maybe I should say more in a more refined level, it will more affect the neshama if you eat like a little bug. A little bug, like a little microscopic bug, 3 millimeters long, will affect the soul much worse than eating pork. That's why we have to look for bugs in our vegetables. To a point that some people take it to the right level that they have in the kitchen, this very strong light, that you can put the vegetables in front of the light to see if the bugs are moving. So you see sometimes people when they eat the dates, they put it like that at the light. And we're not going to do it here, a class now about how to check food. But if you have this light in your home, half of the vegetables, if you put it next to the light, you actually can see the worms moving. In pepper, gamba, how do you say, like red pepper, yellow pepper. The point is that we have to be aware of like something so small. And then you take it even to the next level when you're mixing the plates and the utensils. And a lot of people say, no, that's nonsense. I'm not going to eat meat and dairy. I'm not going to eat pork. But I don't need to care about mixing the forks and the knives. The more you refine you go in the level of kosher, the more it affects your neshama. That's why you see that great sages, great rabbis, people who want to hold themselves in a very high level, their strictness in kosher is fanatic. They don't eat anywhere. They don't want chas v'shalom something to affect them. Why? Because kosher affects directly your neshama. But the other part of my diet is the nutrition. Now the point to take from this in regards to nutrition, we just talked about it on Shabbat, that I know in my mind that half the food that I eat is not food, it's garbage, it's poison. But I still eat it. Why? And exactly when I talked about it on Shabbat, I'm talking about these gummies, all the gummy, the candies that are made out of gummy, however you call it, that everybody's like... My son comes in with the box with all the gummies, and everybody's like... and we talk about it. In my mind, I know that this piece of rubber is not food. It's not food. There's no food in it. There's no nutrition in it. It's chemicals, food coloring, and a bunch of sugar and junk, and we eat it. It's almost like eating a rubber band. Rubber band with sugar. So in my mind, I understand this is not food even. It's bad for me. But I cannot control my inclination, my teava to eat it. Why? Because it's yummy to me. It's good. It's very tasty. So the problem is, it's not only with gummies, it's almost in any food. I know it's not good. Rambam actually says a person who eats something that knows that it's not good and he still eats it is a fool. That's the word he used. He's a fool, tipesh. But we can control I can control my teva. That's what we talked about before in the shiur, that I have to put the control of my mind over my heart. So, A, in the level of achila, in this month, the sense of this month is to bring awareness to your diet. In the kosher department and in the health department. And it's very, very important because bemet, a lot of the problems in our life comes from our food. Mental and health, and needless to say, in regards to my service of God, Avodat Hashem, it does affect me. The more I behave like an animal, the more I eat like an animal, needless to say, when the food is not good, that's the level I bring myself. If I want to elevate myself to a much holier level, I have to separate myself from food. Not to dive into the pleasures of the food. The diversity is not so important. You have to eat to have energy. So that's one very important thing that this month is dominating and that I can correct. But if I want to take it to a more mystical level, this is the month that I can empower the motion of eating, of this consuming, that goes all the way up to the tree of life. And the tree of life, I said, it's empowering. Is that that's the koach, the power of Mashiach. That's why we see that even in regards to the Parashat HaShavuot, it's when we leave our Mitzrayim, it's our redemption. We go out of exile. That's why the next month after gives us the next tool, is that I can only do it when I'm Besimcha, in the Chodesh Adar. After that comes the month of Geula, of redemption. But first has to come the motion of refraining these three actions of Achila, of eating, of the consuming, the ta'anug, the pleasure, and the diversity. The three components of the sin of all three parties that were in the sin of Adam HaRishon, of Chet Etz Hadat. And the tikkun of Chet Etz Hadat is Chet Tzachaim. Why we were kicked from Gan Eden? Because Hashem says, Oy va'avoy, he ate already from Etz Hadat, all I need now with him to eat from Etz Hadat. So till you are mature enough to handle the Etz Hadat out of Gan Eden, you can't be here anymore. So what I really want to utilize in this month and bring down to action is the motion, is to meditate of this awareness of being aware of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not aware of my needs, rather the Mudaut Elokit. That my entire day is involved, how am I empowering in my life the awareness that constantly I'm aware of the needs of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not my needs. It comes to action that the majority of my needs is around food. So, amazingly, we see that I explained last time that if you take like a shape of a pie and you divide it in 12 for the 12 months, for the 12 signs, so there's always going to be one sign in front of the other. Remember I talked about it last time? So last time I said that the month of Tevet was Roges, was anger. In front of it was Tammuz, the sense of Re'iyah. Remember that? So now the month in front of Shvat is Av. Our sense is Achila, and the month of Az is Shmia. It's the motion of Atzira. Shmia is listening. But the motion is what's called Atzira, to stop, to refrain. Now we see that what causes us to a certain stopping when we eat. What causes us to, what stops us when we're about to eat? We say a bracha. If I don't say a bracha, I just put it in my mouth. Sometimes we're not aware of the bracha, or we're just hungry, or I don't feel like it, and I just put it in my mouth. The bracha comes to stop. It makes a tzira to separate between the eating, the consuming, and the actual action. That's why our sages say, oh, no, you're going to say a bracha before eating. If you look at many nations, they say their grace after the eating. We say the bracha before we eat. Because if I'm just going to put in my mouth all day long with no awareness, that I'm eating for the sake of eating and for the sake of me being full now. But I say a bracha. I stop, I hold the food, and I look at the food, and I concentrate. What's about to happen? I'm about to consume now food. And in the food there's a godly spark. And this godly spark has to be elevated to its source. And then I'm going to be remaining with some waste. I have to then remove this waste from my body. So the bracha is put there to stop, to make a separation. that I'm not going to eat with the lust and desire, or like an animal. Has to be some type of a separation. That's what brings me the awareness, oh, wait a minute, I'm not an animal. I'm not putting this in my mouth right now. This is the awareness, the natural awareness, the mudaut tivit. I have to shift it to mudaut elokit. No. I'm not eating now to stuff my stomach. I'm eating now because there's a reason behind it. There's a godly spark that is trapped in the food that I have to elevate it. I'm in the top of the chain of food. Underneath me there's an animal, and underneath the animal there's a vegetation, and underneath the vegetation there's an animate. I have to elevate all these levels of creation. I'm on the top. And if I eat it to the sake of Shamayim, then that's what I'm doing. So we have a bracha. Bracha comes from also not only the lashon of a blessing or a hamshacha, the bracha is the atzira. This is the, it's not a natural thing. A bracha is not a natural thing. Natural thing is to take it and to put it in my mouth. This is natural. It's not natural to stop. How many times now, you don't want to disturb the class, you kind of like, you stop, you don't listen to me for 3 seconds because you're saying, Shakon Yamidvaro. And some of you, you know, you have a little bit of an extra awareness, you say it a little bit loud that somebody else will hear. But it's not a natural stop. Natural is to go like this. So we don't want to operate in the natural level. That's why in Hebrew it's called mudaut tivit. Tivi is natural. I want to have mudaut elokit. An awareness of something way above me. And this is the motion of the month, and this is what I need to emphasize and work on in this month. This is first of all, like I told you, in the lower level is my kosher diet and my health diet. That's something that has to come into my awareness, and very important that it will be in my awareness, and it's guaranteed that it will change a lot of things in your life from the negative to the positive. But what I want to work on is the motion of eating, and the motion where I can correct the sin of eating. That's why the sin, everything that we do is to correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. We keep Shabbat to correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. We do Kiddush, Avdalah. Everything that we do is constantly to correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. The first time that we see that the correction started was in the man. Now, we just left Mitzrayim in this parasha. Next week, we're going to get the man already. The whole tikkun was in the man, the food that just came from Shamayim. And man didn't have a color, didn't have anything. It wasn't diversity. Plain. But when they ate it, they got full. And there was the diversity. The Gemara says that whatever taste they wanted it to be, that's what it was. You want it to taste like a chicken, it will be chicken. You want it to be a steak, it will be a steak. But it was plain. Because they started the tikkun, that the neshama doesn't need diversity, doesn't need the tava, doesn't need anything. That's why we see that the whole concept in the desert, they had a problem. They didn't want the man, they wanted the slav, they wanted that bird. And then they wanted the meat. And constantly they had the tava, the desire, the lust. So I have to correct now the level of Adam HaRishon is the sova, is the how did you say the word was?
Satiation.
To work on that. The second thing is the tava, the desire, the lust coming from Chava, and the diversification of the Nachash. And that's what I want to concentrate on the month of Shvat. And if I do that in the month of Shvat, last month I worked on my anger. Because I cannot approach this high level of Adat Hashem if I have anger. Because first I have to get my anger away from me. Now I'm already in a more calm state. Now I have to find the separation between my awareness of God and my awareness of this world. Bezrat Hashem, next month we're going to already take it to a next level that we're only going to be in happiness, besimcha. This is a much, much higher level. But this month we want to take the next 30 days to really bring it to my awareness and to bring it into action. If I don't bring it into action, then besides the nice information that we got today, it doesn't help me at all. I want to bring it into action that now, every time that I eat, is what I eat, how kosher it is, how it was prepared, if it's a gummy or if it's a potato or a cucumber, to have this awareness, the awareness that I need to be healthy. It affects my nefesh, and it affects my neshama 100%. But more than that, every time that I'm about to eat, because we eat about 500 times a day, we put something in our mouth, then to put this motion of this atzira, that's why the month of Av is in front of the achila. So I have to have some type of a restriction, some type of an awareness that when I'm about to eat, I'm stopping, and to concentrate on the bracha that I'm about to say. Because the bracha does bring me the awareness. The blessing, the bracha is the blessing. It's equal. The bracha is equal to the level of eating. Like we said, that the emotion of the Chodesh of Av is listening. It's Shmiah. We talked about it Thursday. I hope you saw the interview with Kavana. The power of listening. If you didn't see it, then look at the recording, because the concept of Shmiah, of listening, that's where lies down all the secrets. If you know how to zip it and to let this organ work, that's how you're able to start taking in. So the motion of Av is Shmiah, but the the peula, the action is atzira, and the atzira is the bracha. So if you want to bring it into action, every time you're about to eat, you stop, and you also have to listen to your bracha. If you say, that's not a bracha. You have to say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Ni'a Bidoro. I need to hear you so I can answer amen. If I did not hear you, you didn't say a bracha. And like we say to our little kids, if I didn't hear you, Hashem didn't hear you. So the bracha has to also be said loud, has to be the motion of Shmiah, and has to be the action of Atzira. That separates my eating from being an animal and being holy. And that's where I can correct the motion, these three levels. Needless to say that everything that we do is to correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. When we're going to reach the completion of the tikkun of Adam HaRishon, we're going to go back into Gan Eden. Up until now, we're kicked out of Gan Eden because we cannot control it. When we'll be able to control it, we're going to get the state of Gan Eden again. And again, Gan Eden is not walking in a botanical garden with beautiful parrots. Gan Eden is the state of mind that my mind is attached to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with no desires, with no inclinations, with no lusts, with no any interference. Needless to say, the negative things like depression and sadness, and it's a state of Gan Eden. I'm in a state of Geula, of redemption. That's why it says that Mashiach is going to come, Lachzir leGan Eden miKedem, that the state of Gan Eden, how it was before. Bezrat Hashem, if we do that the right way, next month apply the happiness, the month of Nisan is going to be the month of redemption, and Bezrat Hashem, we should reach already to the ultimate redemption, mainly with our actions. And like I said before, which was offline, it wasn't on recorded, we talked about the power of the woman. Bizchut Nashim Tzadkaniyot Yatzanu MiMitzrayim, that's what our sages say, with the merit of righteous women we left Egypt. And with the merit of righteous women, we're going to leave this exile. So the power of the woman is actually to bring it down into action. And Chas v'Shalom, not to put any blame, but the main part of the Etz Hadaat was Chava, because she was for both directions. She was with Adam, and she was also with the Nachash, with the snake. She was in the middle. So the woman has the most obligation, so to say, to correct it. That's why she lights candles, because she turned out the light of the world. That's why she makes challah, because she damaged the challah of the world, which is Adam HaRishon. That's why she has to keep family purity. That's her mitzvah, because by the damage that she did, she brought death into the world. That's why the blood has to come out through her all the time to correct it. And many other reasons. So the woman has a very powerful, powerful way to correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. So Bezrat Hashem, you actually will take this information and bring it down into action. And needless to say that if we reach to this type of correction, we will reach our ultimate redemption and be back in Gan Eden, be Gan Eden Mikedem, like it was before. Bezrat Hashem, this should happen very soon. We'll wish you a beautiful, healthy, successful month of prosperity. The month of Shvat is the month of growth, and this is the motion when one can grow spiritually and emotionally by the building and strengthening the awareness of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we wish you a beautiful, successful month. Until then, have a Rosh Chodesh, good Rosh Chodesh. We can still wish it till Tuesday. Any question?